And we're back. Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and I think we are joined by Robin Philpott, publisher of Baraka Books. Are you there, Robin?
Hi, Phil.
Hey, it's nice.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Well, I'll ask you, how's the weather in Montreal?
Well, it's supposed to be sunny, but it hasn't been sunny.
Well, you have a complaints department where you can take this.
Yeah, we're complaining with it, but considering what's going on in the world, I don't think we should complain.
Nobody's going to complain about the weather.
Yeah, I don't think it's a minor problem.
Yeah. By the way, you're the publisher of Baraka Books, but you've also been active around the issue of the old issue of recognition of a Palestinian state, et cetera. Also you took up the issue of other countries in the region, Syria, Algeria, Libya. Now that I think about it, there's been a lot of Western bombs falling in the whole neighborhood, all trying to discipline people, trying to fight their way out of colonialism. You've traveled. You went to Algeria. You've been to other countries in the region?
No, I've been to Algeria. No, I haven't. I haven't been to other countries. No, other Arab countries I haven't been.
Yeah.
Algeria, Tunisia, and Morocco, and Mauritania, and West Africa, yes, but not further east.
Uh-huh. I wanted to talk to you today because I know there was a weekend, I think this weekend of demonstrations, mm-hmm. which turned out, I think, maybe shocked some people, but in fact, there were demonstrations basically around the world.
Yep.
I understand Los Angeles had a really large demonstration. Chicago had a large demonstration. And they were focused on the issue of the rights of Palestinians, and particularly to end the siege, as was announced, against Gaza. They want that lifted. But probably some of our leaders were surprised. I saw Justin Trudeau just before coming to the show. He reflected that. He said, we have to think, we are many communities, and many communities are suffering, and we have to pull ourselves together. It was a different tone, you might say, than previously struck. But contributing to this were demonstrations in Paris, London. By the way, in the case of London, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand the British government told them not to demonstrate, but they demonstrated anyway. Mm-hmm. I think there was also an attempt to prohibit demonstration in Paris, but it turned out to be a huge demonstration.
Yep.
Bringing it to Canada, there was a demonstration in Montreal, and you went there and observed it.
Yeah.
You weren't one of the speakers or anything like that. But so, tell us about what happened in Montreal.
Well, it was organized by the Palestinian Youth Movement. It was a big march. We're talking about thousands. I've seen figures up to 5,000, but even more, the more conservative media, which usually try and belittle the figures, but we're talking about thousands of demonstrators, and marched from a place near the Guy Metro station to the Israeli consulate, which is in Westmount, and just inside Westmount. And it was like you couldn't see from the front and the back. You couldn't see the front, and it was huge. Filled up one of the big streets, Maisonneuve Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of young people. Chants were in French, English, a bit of Arabic. The chants were solidarity with Palestine. I'm translating. It was Palestine vivra, Palestine vaincra, which means Palestine will live and Palestine will win. They use the one which people are trying to prohibit, which is from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Mm-hmm.
It was a it was a peaceful but a militant demonstration, very peaceful demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a lot of police, but they kept their distance. I can't complain about the police.
So everybody behaved on all sides.
Yeah, I think it became clear, and all these things, these are celebration of Hamas and Hamas terrorist attacks. That's not at all what it is. It is a defense of Palestinian rights, lifting the siege, if you think of the years and years that this has been going on, I've been involved in since the 80s, 70s, and late 70s, early 80s,
mm-hmm.
and this demonstration is getting bigger and bigger. It's young people, they get a lot of other people who are not Palestinian or Arab. They're taking mm-hmm. part in these marches. And so,
Canadian people were promised. You know, it's interesting. We sometimes say, well, they talked. There was always been talk of a two-state solution.
Yeah.
We had an Israeli leader, Yitzhak Rabin, who appeared to be committed to that. He was assassinated.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. This issue has been joined by. Practically every country has some interest in it. So the solution they offered, which was called the two-state solution, and nobody's actually abandoned it, it's just been neglected. But if you the problem about neglecting, it's like a health issue. If you don't fix it, it will could be fatal. And the rise of movements around the world in anger and all that really grows out of frustration that the agreements that went back to, I'll bet people hardly remember the name Yasser Arafat. They know the leader now, Mr. Abbas, who is in, I believe, in the West Bank. The promise hasn't been fulfilled, and this is. Any Canadian who cares about these matters is aware of nothing happened.
Yeah. I listened to a bit of the previous, what you were saying, and you do have the strong feeling that they never wanted a Palestinian state. It was a way of getting time, having time to the fait accompli policy, where you actually colonize, which is what Israel's done, and the United States, which is walking around like the head of the block, like they're the only guy who can talk. They like the fact that nothing is solved.
Yes.
And
when it is to be solved, you're supposed to go to the White House lawn for a photo op with the President of the United States. I invite
people
to look at all those pictures going to Jimmy Carter and Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Go to the White House. Everybody put their hands on each other, and then nothing happens.
Right.
It's like you say, boy, is the... And the Russians have raised the issue. There's a thing called a quartet. About 10, 15 years ago, they were deciding they were going to do something. I guess it was 92, 20, correct me if you know the dates, but they said the quartet of the EU, Russia, the UN, and of course, the star of the show, the US, they were the quartet, and they were going to bring about a solution. But because of this thing they labeled the new Cold War, the U.S. ignores Russia altogether.
Yeah.
That's not the way to solve a problem.
Yeah, and Russia has a real important role in Israel, Palestine, in that area, because its history, it's been involved, because its geography, where it is, and because of a large, large number of Russian of Israelis who are of Russian origin. Now,
yes.
In other words, they have a they have a relationship which is something which has to be taken into consideration, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And Russia has had positions, and they're just ignoring. I mean, the U.S. decided we will not deal with them, and so nobody else can deal with them, at least, you mm-hmm. know, officially.
Yes. It is a tragedy that Canada, who always, you know, historically was a kind of, to the extent that it was noticed and had kind of international duties that drew some respect, was through, frankly, a multipolar institutions, and particularly the United Nations, which now that the U.S. has decided, or since all these years that the U.S. decided it would basically bypass and ignore the UN, the Canada's role is dipped into nothing.
Right.
So it's very striking. By the way, now you listeners should know that Quebec is a somewhat different political environment. You actually have members. You have the National Assembly. It's not called a parliament or the provincial. It's not a provincial parliament. It's a National Assembly. And you have, I think you told me, 6 members of a party that have taken a view of stressing Palestinian rights, but also, you tell me, what is it? Yeah. What have they been saying? And who are they, by the way?
The interesting thing is the Quebec Solidaire, and they have, they are the third party, and they have at least 10. Members, not 11. They have 11 now.
11 members.
Yeah,
I can remember when people thought they were a joke. That's 11 members. Go ahead.
And they have based in Montreal and Quebec City, and one in Sherbrooke. And their position, and including a woman who is Palestinian, she still has a refugee documents because she was born in Lebanon, but her family was removed from Palestine in 1948, and she's the member of the National Assembly for a riding here in Montreal, mm-hmm. and she's made very good statements, and she's been threatened, even though her statements are very balanced, very balanced. And then the leader has came out with a statement on. Excuse me, a second. Yeah, there we go.
Everybody I know has a cold.
Yeah, it's Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois, mm-hmm. who is leader of the Quebec Solidaire, and he made a statement this the other day, which is very strong, on calling on Quebec to be a haven of peace. And to push for peace worldwide in a situation like this, he says the Palestinians. He says we must recognize. He said we must demand respect for human rights. We must allow Israel to have secure borders, but we must recognize the right of the Palestinian people to live in peace within an independent state. With borders recognized by the UN, mm-hmm. And so it makes it very clear. He calls immediately for a ceasefire. He quotes the Amnesty International, which compares the Israeli state to an apartheid state. Mm-hmm. It goes over the history. Yeah. So it's a very powerful.
So he's made a summary statement, like you say. He covered historical issues.
Yeah, it's a summary statement which he made on Friday before they had they had a convention on the weekend, like the NDP. I mean, it had nothing to do with the NDP, but he went over what in the past week and how it has shaken the world, and then he makes a call for Quebec to have a position for peace, for a ceasefire, so it's a very strong position. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it echoes a position that a large number of Quebecers have taken in the past. In going back to the 70s, when René Lévesque was premier of Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
He stood for a two-state solution when nobody was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in one of the last conventions he presided at, 1981, he invited the representative of the PLO, Abdullah Abdullah, to be in attendance. And he was presented to the people in the convention, and he got vast applause mm-hmm. at the time. And this was the governing party of Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
He was attacked in many media, and he just answered, sharply. Mm-hmm. He said, the UN recognizes so why shouldn't we? And then there are several others, leading important people in the political landscape in Quebec, who I can just name a few: Louise Arel, Gérald Godin, singers, artists who were very much pro-Palestinian in the past. So the trade unions, both the QFL and the CSN, had long-standing positions in favor of of Palestinian freedom, and Palestinian, the right to a state. So right now, you could say there's a bit of softness among certain sectors of Quebec, of the Quebec political class. The current government
mm-hmm.
made a rather, I think, a craven statement about the situation without any thought to
mm-hmm.
a solution. Unfortunately, the Bloc Québécois is not a shadow of what it used to be on these issues. But there are good signs, mm-hmm. like this the group, the Quebec Solidaire people.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you mentioned Louise Arel. You had told me about her earlier. She has a Facebook page. I was looking at that. She really, she knows her stuff, as they say.
Yeah.
She actually knows the history, and she talked about visiting. She said she attended a mass in Bethlehem with Yasser Arafat.
Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, she tells a very important her account, I should say, it's her account, and it's one that everybody should meditate on because she is so knowledgeable. But she said she, of course, knew what you might call the political class of the Palestinians. And that one of them, a woman who had actually challenged Yasser Arafat for the leadership of the Palestinian Authority or of PLO, I'm not really sure which, and she said the woman was very frustrated, saying that the Hamas had been encouraged in the early going to develop as a rival to Arafat because it bollocked up the process, it drained because he couldn't deliver. He was unable to deliver on any of the promises of, we're going to have a state. He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And she said, and her historical account is that it's the Hamas grew out of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not saying that these are 100% accurate things. I'm not an authority on the story of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
But from people who know what they're talking about and live in the region, people should pay attention and consider these things because there's a lot of generalizations about the main players. And it's as if there was no history at all. I mean, for example, at the moment, Biden speaks and Trump, both of them, by the way, Biden and Trump are on the same page. And tomorrow they'll go back to throwing rocks at each other, but they both say, I'm a good friend of Bibi. I know, the nickname for Netanyahu.
Right.
And you say, you weren't bragging about that a couple of weeks ago when he was deep into hot water. But now everybody's pretending everything's just hunky-dory. But it does.
Yeah.
So these matters people should pay attention.
It's just who she is. Louise Arel was a member of the National Assembly for almost 30 years, She was elected in Hochelaga-Maisonneuve. She was a minister under in Levesque's government. She was a minister and head of the opposition at a certain point, and she was even the speaker of the National Assembly of Quebec. So she's you could call her an elder stateswoman in Quebec.
By the way, does she share the conception? People have to understand of René Lévesque, who's the father of the sovereigntist movement, I would say, the modern father. There have been many, but modern. Yeah. His perspective was that he was anti-colonialist.
Exactly.
And I remember he astonished many people when Thatcher was attacking I can't remember the English name, but it's in Malvinas.
Yeah,
and the Canadian government called it Falklands. Now I'm remembering Falklands, and René Lévesque called it Malouin.
Yeah,
I mean there's an original individual. He knew the story, but his view of these matters. And well, you tell us about. I think you told me his beginning of his political career when he was a television. Commentator, he took up the cause of the Algerians.
He took it up so seriously. In other words, he was working for the Radio-Canada. This was when TV just started out, and he had a program where he explained international issues. And, of course, he had been joined the American Army to fight in the Second World War and was a reporter. He worked for the American Information, and he was there when they liberated the concentration camp.
He went to Auschwitz. He was actually there.
Yeah, and so he grew out of the end of the Second World War, politically, I would say. And then he was working on international issues. And during the Algerian War, the liberation, he did these programs that everybody watched about, and it got Radio-Canada would have some of his programs would be broadcast in France, and they were prohibited because he basically told the truth about the liberation of Algeria. They're classic. It's a classic. His programs, you can still see them. It was called Point de Mire was his program, and so that was where he got his. I would say where he began seeing, I don't know whether he began seeing it then, but that was when he got earned his reputation as somebody who was in favor of liberation of colonies. And then he went on with the Liberal Party when they were elected in 1960, he saw it as that was a sort of almost like the beginning of the quiet revolution, as they called it. It was called. Mm-hmm. And he founded the PQ. So he found the PQ in the same spirit of anti-colonialism, which other, by the way.
And they have drifted away from that, haven't they?
Unfortunately.
I don't know the word drift. Maybe they ran away from it. I don't know. But.
Both. Both. And I would say it was started with, Lucien Bouchard and so on. The current leader has made took an anti-colonial stance with regards to the oath to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a very good position. Now, right now, he's very quiet about this question, and maybe he doesn't want to say something that he's going to attack for, so he's just not saying anything. I don't know, but I find
this is the leader of the PQ.
The current leader of the PQ,
who was quite a moment.
Sorry,
it was quite a moment. They won the point, right? That they don't have to swear.
They won it. That thanks to him, he just stood his ground and did not.
I think the rest of us do.
Honestly,
I think the rest of Canada, as they call it, still has to do that.
In Quebec, he won his point, but he stood up for it. So. Is that I think he gained a lot of respect for that because he did that. So far I haven't seen he hasn't said anything specific about the Hamas about Israel-Palestine crisis going on now.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry, yeah. I talked over.
The question is about political culture. It goes back a long way. The unions, if right now there's, you know, and we've seen that elsewhere, there's, you know, political, there's a kind of a political void in many areas, and that's hit Quebec. I mean, but I think that this kind of event can change things, this kind of event that's going on now in the Middle East, in the Western Asia.
Mm-hmm. While we're covering these political parties, has the Bloc been at all altering its point of view? You know, it's been, what, October 7 was the attack where they tore up the fence and attacked a kibbutz. And it's a week, 10 days, I don't know how long it's been now, but is there any shifting or altering of the point of view, or do you know what the Bloc, for example,
in fact,
is saying? What do they say about Gaza?
Well, they're not saying much. And they're, from what I've seen from the leader, because everybody else is basically silent about it,
mm-hmm.
in the Bloc, the leader is getting all kinds of kudos from very pro-Israel commentators, mm-hmm. and I think he likes it. So it's sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not encouraging at all to see that coming from the Bloc.
Well, I wonder if they will follow along, because Biden has begun to wobble a bit, or at least stake out, as I was saying in the beginning of the show. He's taking some positions which indicate a different view of what the crisis is about than the leaders in Tel Aviv.
Well, that could change.
And
Trudeau, I know personally mm-hmm. a number of MPs with the Bloc who have been pro-Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either they have a very highly disciplined group, or they're just told to shut up or something. But the leader is not saying the same thing that they've defended.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so, like, to almost daily now, because these people live by Twitter and not by the what they call legacy media. You and I are legacy media. They do make fresh comments, every day. So, but I would be watching today. Watching Trudeau, he took a much more centrist stance. I didn't see any debate about it, but he clearly indicated he noticed that there were demonstrations. He noticed that there is a humanitarian issue. He spelled it out. He said, the people of Gaza have to have water, electricity, and food. Now, I assume he said that because the defense minister of Israel, about 4 days ago, 5 days ago now, said there was going to be a siege and there would be no food, electricity, or water. So the prime minister of Canada didn't, of course, specifically address what we all heard, but he said there has to be food, water, and electricity for civilians. So I wonder if the Bloc...
I saw the Bloc interviewed, and the Bloc leader on Twitter as well, and his position was, I think there should be a meeting of the leaders of all the parties to discuss the question.
Mm-hmm.
Of the current crisis, which he calls Israel-Hamas.
So he's calling, the leader of the Bloc is calling for an all-parties meeting? He means of the parties in the Middle East, or does he mean the political parties of Canada?
No, in Canada, the four political parties in Canada, in the Canadian Parliament, telling them that they should meet to discuss this in private, and then come to a
private meeting. Interesting.
Yeah, private meeting. That's what he called for. I don't know what it's
Wow.
You know.
Well, now, but hovering over this, is if I, going to the kind of theme I was striking, and I'm interested in whether people fall in line, that is, Biden he's asserting U.S. Ownership of this.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if you heard the commentary, but he said, they asked him specifically, are you worried about Iran, their role in this? And he said, we don't have any intelligence that Iran is involved. To me, that's a political statement telling Israel, don't say that, or don't act on it.
Right.
And so we do have vassals here. I have to speak of this honestly. Yeah. We have vassals. And I would be surprised if the Ottawa vassals differed, or the vassals in Paris, or the vassals in London. I think Biden is grabbing onto this, well, he's asserting that it's going to be, once again, Washington.
Yeah.
Which I think, that's a kind of, I like to remind everybody that we talk about the colonial history, and we talk about Arabs, we talk about the Israelis, etc. But the driving force is always either London, Washington, or Paris.
Yeah.
And if they tell you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a part that people forget. And but Biden seemed almost, over the top in the way he was talking, reminding everybody that America's the most powerful. But he didn't say, well, you know, we have a United Nations. We would have to talk with Russia, China, others, because that way we could resolve it. But he's trying to own it. But while owning it, he's also redefining what it's about.
Maybe that was already the sign that Trudeau tried to become more centrist.
I'm sorry, say that again? What?
Maybe what you're describing with Biden is what Trudeau is trying to say, the same thing in his way.
It sounds like it to me. Ideologically, they are a match. We've all agreed in Canada that we don't want Trump as our president.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he our master, but he was ill-mannered.
Yeah.
We want one with a light touch, you know. I find that very striking. But speaking of the Bloc and understanding them, it strikes me that the Bloc decided during the period of the rise of unipolar America after the Soviet Union, they decided they would do all of their work on the international scene under the hegemony of the U.S.
Yeah. Well, it took a while, because in 2003, the Bloc was very strong in opposition to the war on Iraq. They were very, very strong. They were out front in the out with the demonstrations where Quebec, we had these huge demonstrations, and everybody was against the war.
Was that Duceppe?
That was Duceppe.
Okay.
And then in the war on Lebanon in 2006, the Bloc and the PQ were marching in the demonstration against Israel
the 2006 war.
Yeah, and when Hezbollah basically won.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there is that a couple of people carrying Hezbollah flags, and the media just jumped on them. And my theory, but it may not, is that is what scared them, and they decided to join under the hegemony of the American Empire.
Yeah, I think that was when it was dawning on them that there was a unipolar system.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
But is breaking up now. And
right, exactly.
People are finding a new footing, including the prime minister.
Right, and I hope that they'll understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, Ireland has been very good on this question. The Irish.
And the Scots. The Scots.
And the Scots, I think, too, as well.
Yeah. Well, it's been very edifying, Robin. I know you're going to speak to Louise Aurel yourself next week, and Actually, I look forward to hearing more about that sometime when we talk in the future. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM.